I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating fresh drugs. Call me private label.
Oh yeah, welcome to the Wild Wednesday episode of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture Is My Passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes on Wednesdays, even the paranormal. If you've kept up at all with some of the things that were going on around here, good night, y'all. We had it all going on. Electronic attacks, astral projection attacks, whole bunch of things that my guest coming up right now doesn't really know about, or at least I don't think he does, but he's got a whole lot of good things going on. But before we get down with that, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from 2OldCrowsHomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Also, Peaceful Valley Farm Supply. Look, y'all, you want some of those ballin' seeds like we got? Well, we get them from Peaceful Valley. If you want a discount, put in promo code PERMA. And if you want to tip a pimp, you can do it over there on the Fountain app. You can even triple up all your podcast feeds if you want to, and you can drop a derivation of Bitcoin called Satoshis, or for short, they call it Sats. So if you want to drop a SAT on a PIMP, go do it over there on the Fountain app. Now, keep in mind, I am a journeyman electrician, 27 years experience. My advertisers did not reach out to me. I reached out to them, Redemption Shield being one of them. I got my bear dog sitting on a mat right now because I'm always grounded. I'm G'd up from the feet up thanks to Redemption Shield. And if you want to get something over there in terms of grounding, you get 10% off. Sometimes they got specials where you can even get a whole lot more than that. Use promo code PERMA. Keep yourself grounded and protected. If nobody, I don't know of anybody out there that's talked more about this than I have. So use that 27 years of experience that I have in the IBEW as a journeyman wireman. And keep yourself safe along with all your other family members. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Once again, they did not reach out to a player. I reached out to them. And look, if things jump off, whether it's EMP, whatever the case may be, you ain't looking to go to the club. You're looking to get to the house. So that's what EMP is designed to do, to get you home to the crib so you can, you know, do whatever you need to do. But I'll tell you what else they got. With all their devices that they have on the house, your number one, everybody's worried about the thing that might happen, but your highest likelihood that almost certainly will happen in the life of your house is going to be a lightning strike. Check it out. Here's why I reached out to them, y'all. If you have an EMP protector on your panel and anything downstream gets Kentucky fried, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. Find me another TVSS or transient volt surge suppressor or an EMP shield on the market right now that can deal with that. Look, nobody's out there. Nobody can do it. That's why I reached out to EMP Shield, asked them to be a sponsor of this podcast. $50 off with promo code PERMA. And finally, y'all, August 29th through the 31st, Homesteaders United Jamboree. Folks, you should leave that one. It's basically all-inclusive pricing. You're going to leave there. I'm going to show you how to, from a sheep that is on 4 feet until the time it goes into your belly, I'm going to show you how I do it. I mean, from how to dispatch that animal, how to gut and skin, And then we bring in chefs to cook that animal along with the other. Basically, y'all, we're going to be killing an entire ecosystem out there and we're going to eat it. And we got chefs we're bringing in to do all that. So Homesteaders United Jamboree. And then in addition to that, so in addition to showing you how to put food on your table in terms of animals, I'm showing you how to do it in terms of your garden mediums. I will be showing you, not in a two-dimensional way that I typically do on YouTube. I'm going to have all the materials there. I'm going to show you how to build a compost pile, how to flip a compost pile, and I'm going to make it to where anybody out there can make some seriously bioactive compost with very little, with the things you have around you. All right, y'all, with all that said, with all the housekeeping, and I know it's a lot there, but look, folks, these folks make this show possible, and they make it to where this player can put food on the table. So that's why I go through it. And plus, y'all, I'm not putting out advertiser. Look, if you had a nickel for all the people that hit me up asking for advertisement on this show or on the podcast or, I mean, on the YouTube channel, you'd be shocked at how many I turn away. I essentially don't take anybody that I didn't reach out to. So that's why they're on here. All right, y'all. A while back, I think he's been a two-time guest. I think actually three times. This will be number four, if I'm not mistaken, with my guest today, y'all. I look up to this guy in so many different ways. Been a huge fan of his ever since he had his own podcast. In the past, he's done a lot of things have changed. And honestly, y'all, I'm going to tell you straight. I even wrote this on his new podcast before I even heard the first episode. I wrote on there, you'll know who wrote it because it says Permaculture Pimp Daddy. I wrote on there that Joel is always the smartest dude in every single podcast. I'm talking about Joel Thomas. But he never feels the need to let you know that. It is evident by the work that he puts in. I mean, I know he's a voracious researcher. Very, very humble in the things that he does. And he has got, man, I'm telling you what, y'all, of anybody out there, of the top five people on this planet whose brain I wish I could pick regarding everything I want to know about in this world, he's definitely on that list. And that's saying something because I'm not a slouch myself when it comes to research and the things I look into. Folks, with that said, look, I'm not going to play around. I'm going to bring him straight on. My man, my homeboy, Joel Thomas, how you doing?
Boy, I got a lot to live up to for people that never heard me before.
Nah, bro.
Yeah.
You know what? Of all the people I've had on this show, man, I ain't gonna lie, bro. You're one of those people. There's been other people that might actually have the opposing view to you that I would like to introduce you to one of these days regarding certain topics we won't get into today. But dude, you're one of those people that when I have you on the show, people are walking away like and in the radio business, because that's where I kind of made my chops before getting into podcasting, man, it always says a lot about the show, depending on how much you receive. And typically the ones you want to receive in radio are the negative comments, because these are the typical that are usually ready, fire, aim, because they haven't examined any of the stuff that you present. Bro, you're talking about things and you're doing research that is so original that it honestly, and I've taken a lot of research, I've taken a lot of podcasts, I've taken a lot of stuff, but man, I'm just going to say it straight, bro. And I told you, I think a little bit privately that, dude, I am so ecstatic that you're out there doing your own gig, and I can't wait for the audience to find out as well. So why don't you give everybody a little bit of a brief background on yourself, because there's going to be, we got so many new people now, they may not have heard the old stuff. Why don't you tell them about Joel Thomas, what it was you did. Take as long as you'd like, and then, you know, what it is you do now.
Yeah, so, again, thanks for the kind words. You know, I don't know if I'm the smartest guy in the room, but, you know, I do try to take time to do research on topics. And generally speaking, I try to pick topics that most people aren't looking at, or if they are looking at it, try to look at it from a different angle, because I feel like in this quote unquote truth or space or conspiracy space, there are regimented ideas and people pretty much adhere to those and they don't look outside of it. Like if somebody's made up their mind about something, they're not even going to accept the fact that they could be wrong about said topic. And I think that one thing that I am fortunate enough to have seen over the years, you know, I'm 42 years old and I went through different eras of the conspiracy world. So I remember an era before 08, 09, where people were very open to talking about conspiracies. You know, you'd just sit around a campfire, you'd have a good time with people, and you'd present your ideas or some sort of research you ran across or a video or whatever. And people would accept you, and nobody was really laughing about those things. It was like, yeah, it could be, man, whatever. You know, it was more of a, hey, we're sharing these topics that nobody really knows the answer to. But after 08-09, and I did a whole podcast about it on my first episode, about some things that changed with the government as far as behind the scenes of what they wanted to control the truth that got out there. And part of that was to infiltrate, or as I like to say, build the foundation for the modern truther movement. I think that the modern truther movement has pretty much been built by government entities and is ran by government entities as a whole. And I know people that, you know, are seeking the truth don't like to hear that, but you know, there were some major topics that got red hot after 08-09, and they became people's absolute truth, to where they weren't accepting of any other possibility. And I don't remember a time like that. I remember 9/11 happened. I remember that people were wide open with their theories about what happened at 9/11. You know, statistically, in the early 2000s, 50% of New York pretty much said that they knew that the American government had something to do with it, right? So people that were even your quote-unquote normies knew something wasn't right, and people were very open to sharing these topics. The problem is that they weren't safeguarded by the government. They weren't being able to move down different lanes the way they wanted them to be. And part of what the modern truth movement has become is, the crazier they can make people look for seeking the truth, the better. So I think that's why that they've created these subsets, these, you know, subreddits, in a sense, of people who have a certain particular theory that they love, and they're willing to die on a hill for it, when at the end of the day, they're unprovable. And I know one of the big ones that I bring up is flat earth. It's unprovable, just like round globe earth is unprovable. I know no either side wants to hear that, but it is. Like, I can't take you to space, Billy, but I also can't take you to the ice wall. There's two things I can't do, but what I can do, I can take you inside the earth. I know that the mammoth caves exist. I know that the earth has massive cavernous systems, and I know that historically cultures have talked about things coming in and out of the earth, and we know that for a fact. So certain things we can point to and say, it's not really a theory. We may be theorizing on what it is, but that's a little more held to the truth. Whereas when you're talking about things like shape of the earth or the Mandela effect, or you're talking about any number of Tartaria, whatever the hot one is that everybody's willing to die on, there, you've got things that are in those theories that could very well be true, but not all of it is. And I always say the best lies are mixed with a lot of truth. And I think that's very similar to when we talk about NASA. NASA's a good one. Everybody thinks that NASA's just full of lies. That's BS. NASA wouldn't be doing what they're doing if they were just full of total lies. They're giving you some truth, but they're also mixing it with what they want to tell you, or they're spinning the narrative in a way that they want you to believe. So I think that's one thing that I noticed over the past 4 to 5 years. And I'm just as guilty as anyone else to get caught up in some of the fray of that as well. But I know that the past 8 months, as I was trying to figure out whether I want to podcast anymore or what I wanted to do with this whole thing, I knew that what I needed to do was create a space for people to share ideas, not feel, you know, bombarded or isolated if they think differently than somebody else, but at the same time, understand that these theories can't drive and control us, because that's what they want too. See, while people are saying they're fighting the system with these ideas, you're just falling for the trap that the government's given to you, as they're also manipulating said ideas. So now you're just as bad as the people that you're screaming at calling sheep. You're a sheep too, because you're doing what they're telling you to do without even knowing it, thinking that you have some sort of new concocted idea. And listen, you may have some things right about it, but at the end of the day, it doesn't mean you have all of it right. Because I don't think none of any of us have all of it right. I just don't think that's possible. I think we can present things as possibilities and we can say, hey, I did all this research and I think this and I believe this, right? Flat earthers, they've done, some guys have done tremendous amount of research, and I can't deny the research that they've done or say that they're completely wrong. But I could just as adversely go to a guy who believes in a globe system, who is an actual astronomer, and he's coming at you with facts and things that he's seen with his own eye and say, well, he's got a good valid point too, right? So I think sometimes that the truth lies somewhere in the middle, and my thoughts on the earth are a little bit different, but I'm going to wait to share that on the podcast at a future date on what I think's going on or what could be going on. And I could be dead wrong too, but I do think that that's just the, I always point to that one particular theory because that's one in the truther community gets everybody super angry at each other. Is, and at the end of the day, Billy, you know what's great? The shape of the earth has nothing to do with life, has nothing to do with us interacting with people and showing love and compassion and what we're supposed to do on this earth, what we're set on this earth to do. Like, these topics are great to dig into, great to learn, but they're not that imperative when it comes to how we're supposed to treat other people and how we're supposed to not dehumanize another person. You know what's crazy, Billy? I could see somebody walking down the street that clearly, by the way they dress, the way they act, don't hold the same ideals as me. I can do one of two things. I can either immediately look at them like they're not a person and treat them that way, or I can push past that initial feeling as a human being we have and know that they are a person. And maybe there's something they're dealing with. Maybe there's something going on there that I don't know that I have to be able to reach. And I think that's the problem with people in this community. They have no, listen, Billy, they have no reason or rhyme to what they're doing in the sense of trying to help others at all. Like, what are they doing for their community? What are we actually doing? Are we actually helping people? You know, screaming and railing and yelling in your echo chamber on social media is not helping anybody. You're just screaming to the people that think just like you. Who are you reaching? I'm waking people up. I'm so tired of hearing that because nobody's waking anybody up. If people aren't listening to you because you are acting with a certain type of mentality when you come to people with this information. That's not, you don't walk up to a random person and be like, reptilians are running the world. Like, that's not how you reach people. That's not, it doesn't work that way. And I think for me was trying to find my way in this weird world and finding a way to present information, but also encourage people to go out in your community, do community work, whatever you need to do to help others grow, do that, because that's how you really fight the system. It's not fighting over theories that are really unprovable.
Bro, I'm right there with you on so much of that. Privately, I'll push back on a couple of things, but it's not important at this juncture right now. One thing you say that is of paramount value is the fact that so many of us get so tied up. And like you said, I was also one of those people that I'd get so tied up in this particular thing. And then meanwhile, the most important thing in my life, I'm missing out on some of the most important things regarding my son, my wife, the people around me. And that's exactly, it's funny that you mention it that way. And this is why I feel like I have such an affinity for the work you do, is because on YouTube, we basically isolate everything about YouTube is how do you do what I do? How do you raise your animals for free or almost free? How do you raise all of your vegetables? How do you get all this done? So it's like a how-to thing. Over here in the podcast realm, because as you and I have talked privately, is that I can say things in this realm that I can't even begin to think about getting away with on YouTube. So I can overlay, I can be 100% me. Well, I'd say 95% because there's certain things I still don't talk about. I can expose that stuff over here. I can still, in every podcast, when I'm not doing a specialty podcast like I'm doing right now, I'm talking about what's going on in the farm and how you can replicate it, what we got right, what we got wrong, how you can do it. And then also in the same token, I'm also talking about maybe some of these esoteric topics, which I've kind of leaned into a little bit more. I save those for like the bonus episodes like I'm doing right now, where I can overlay a little bit of all of it. But like you said, not be so taken with these things that I'm missing the most important elements of the things that are going on around me. And like you said, Man, if I had a nickel, I have two brothers. It's funny that you bring up the thing where you just walk up to random strangers, man. I kid you not. I was in the Smithsonian, the one in D.C., with my son, my nephew, my brother, and I got two older brothers that are exactly that type. We're looking at this capsule that they're trying to tell me that they had three astronauts in there, and I'm looking at this capsule, which is covered in, like, plexiglass, and I'm like, ain't no way three guys sat up in there. And then I'm looking over at this moon lander, and I'm looking at the door on it. It's supposed to be an absolute exact replica. And I'm like, hold on. My niece, who was there, a little niece at the time, could barely get in and out of that door with a backpack. But you're telling me a grown man got in and out of there. So we're making these. My brother is so incensed. And this is why I almost busted out laughing when you were saying it. He was going up to random people he did not know in the Smithsonian and say, dude, you believe this? Look over here. Look at this. And then he's going to another guy. Look at this. Look at this. And they're like, yeah, dude. And they're just like, you cannot go over. Or he would go up to other people. It was little things. Like when I lived in Texas, man, I swear I was having a really good conversation of trying to wake this dude up that worked at a mulch yard, until the day that same brother came with me to that mulch yard. And I'm talking to this dude about something about 9/11. And he was, you know, I'd started, you know, baby steps, got him looking into things. Then he looked into Building 7. And then out of the blue, my brother says, hey, man, do you know no planes even hit the Twin Towers at all? This dude never spoke another word to me for the rest of the time I would ever go to that place. Point being, these are wars that we don't win in miles. We win them in inches. Yeah. And we also have to understand that people are at different places, man. I wasn't awake. You know, I had very, very strong views about certain things, but it is the mark of any thinker to be able to hear any idea without necessarily agreeing or disagreeing with it. And that's what I love about what you brought up in your very first episode, because I wrote my critique to your podcast before I even heard the first episode, and you confirmed exactly what I said. You talked about the Kenneth Sunstein effect. And I don't know if you want to go into it. I mean, obviously everybody needs to go out there and listen to it, but you basically encapsulated that very same thing. And I love how that was your inaugural. I was like, man, what on earth is he going to say that would justify? But I think it was like the preface, or I think it was a preface to what you intend to do with this podcast. Am I wrong?
It is. It's actually the basis for it, because one, not a lot of people know, you know, about that particular paper and what that paper represented and who wrote it and, you know, what was really going on during that time in 08-09, which again, you know, how would they know? It was definitely written for those subset of people, right? It was written for the people that were in power and control. It was written by guys who graduated with Harvard, brilliant men. Adrian Vermeul and Cass Sunstein, you know, they've written New York Times bestsellers. Cass Sunstein wrote Nudge Effect, which is a huge part of that as well, which if people don't know what the Nudge Effect, and I'll just do it in layman's terms, it's basically putting something at eye level metaphorically to someone to get them to do said thing. So it's, you know, he made an analogy where we're putting the fruit in front of you at eye level to get you to eat the fruit so you won't eat the junk food, which I thought was kind of funny because I think it's the exact opposite of that, what they really want you to do. But he was making a point that that's the nudge effect. They're getting you to do something without you knowing that they're getting you to do it. And that's just propaganda 101. Right. So I think that was the basis, because he wrote this book. It was a New York Times bestseller. Then he wrote this paper, Conspiracy Theories, with Adrian Vermeul. And then in this, they broke down systematically what a conspiracy theorist was. See, this is what they were having problems with around 07, even before that. After 9/11, tons of people started questioning the government, even more so than they did in the JFK assassination, which they were doing then. By the way, a lot of people think that the term conspiracy theory or theorist came out by the CIA after JFK. That's actually a falsity. It actually came out 100 years ago in the late 1800s. It was written about in a paper. Now, the CIA did push that term after JFK assassination, because they wanted to bottleneck people that thought differently about the assassination, that thought the government was probably involved with it. So they started using that term very religiously at that point, for people to start getting in their lexicon as they went. So I see this all the time online. It's a typical truther misnomer. It's typical of people to hear something someone else said and just believe it without actually digging into it. Conspiracy theorist term has been around for a long time, actually. It's been used in several articles, papers throughout the past 100 years. The first time it was used in the late 1800s, I want to say like 1880s or something like that, when it was first used in a paper.
Joel, to that point real quick, and then I'll let you get back to it, but to that point, at the end of the day, anybody that throws that term around is meant to marginalize. It is meant, and that's exactly what the CIA wanted to do when they brought it back.
Absolutely.
Is to marginalize anybody that would get you to think outside the box. Because if you were to do a, if you say to somebody, okay, tell me the first word that comes to your mind when I bring up the word orange or apple or pig or goat, conspiracy, I'll bet you 9 out of 10 people would say theory. That would be the next thing. So they programmed the American public to say to never say conspiracy without then adding theory to the back of it. But back to you, bro.
Yeah. So back to that. Yeah. I just brought that up as a point as far as the term, because this is what happens. If you don't really know where something comes from and you're touting it as coming from something, there will be people that push back on you that'll say, no, actually, no. And then it'll discredit everything else you're trying to say because of the fact that you thought, because of some podcast or some meme, that this is where this thing came from. Yes, I totally agree with the fact that it's a provable thing that the CIA really pushed that term after the JFK assassinations and that afterwards, that year after. But the fact that they created the term is false, because that was over 100 years before that, when that term was actually used for the first time in printed media. So I just think that I like to bring those things up where I can find them, just so people can understand where these terms actually come from. So if you come at things from an educated point of view, a lot of times people will listen to you a little bit more than if you're just shooting from the hip. And I found that even with myself, like if I go to shooting from the hip and I'm wrong, man, everything else, the 99% of stuff I said that was right, just got discredited, because I was going to die on that sword. And I think that's where I'm going with this podcast, is people are willing to die on swords that they don't have the full facts for, or their theories that they've done research on, but they're still theories. They're not provable facts in the sense of, I can show you this. Here's a good one. I can't prove to you God. I can show you that God's done such and such in my life. I can show you how much I've grown. I can show you the connectivity that God's had with me. I can tell you about my past experiences with entities, all that. I cannot show you literally, physically in front of you as a provable fact. I'm not saying God's a theory, because I don't believe he's a theory. What I am saying is, to some people, they would look at it that way, because to them, it's not a provable fact. You know how I prove to people about God, Billy, is how my actions are, how I treat people, how I choose to operate while I'm on this earth. By the way, earth was created for us. So people are always screaming about getting off this earth and getting to heaven. I just think that's ridiculous, because the earth was created for us to manage and to cultivate. We're supposed to be stewards of this earth, as a matter of fact. And that's just a biblical fact. So no matter what you think about God, if God created this earth for us, this is what we're supposed to be here to manage. So no matter how bad it gets, we can only blame ourselves for how bad it's getting as well. So, you know, you want to blame the government. How did they get into power? How did they get all these things, you know, that they have now? Well, we allowed it. So we can only blame ourselves just as much as we can blame them. And I think once we start getting out of that blame game and we start realizing what we're supposed to do on this earth, we're going to live fuller lives. We're going to live happier lives. These things that are happening around us won't control us. I'm not saying don't be aware. I'm not saying don't be awake. I'm not saying don't, you know, because I'm going to talk about the weird and the wild and everything on my podcast. I'm not going to shy away from it, because I do study these topics and I do understand how some of it operates. But what I'm saying is, they don't need to consume and control us. Like, you know, I had so many people reach out to me after I dropped that podcast that were thankful because they said in the past 3-4 years they were living in fear. They weren't living a full life. They literally just were living like hermits at the house. That's what they want. That's why they created this truther community to control, because they wanted you to feel that way. They want you to feel isolated. They want you to feel like that you need to, I know this is controversial too, live off the grid completely to where you can't connect with people. I don't think that that's how we're supposed to live. I'm not saying you yourself are a homesteader, you're self-sufficient. All those things are great. That's not saying that. It's not saying that when you go to these homesteading conferences and all these community events and teaching people how to do these things on their own isn't warranted, because it is, because it does help you to be able to navigate things that could happen to us in the future. What I am saying, though, is don't be the dude that got out of the military that's living in the middle of nowhere, who's got, you know, grass suits on, crawling around in the woods. Like, that's not beneficial either. You got to have a balance. I think in everything in life, you got to have a balance. And I think as I'm doing this podcast, I think I'm hoping to show people like how we can create a balance in what's actually happening in the world and what's happening in your own life.
Joel, talk to me about, first of all, I concur 100%. You know, what's funny is I think our paths in so many different ways align. Because I was one of those people you're actually talking about. I was absolutely one of those people. As far back as you could, you know what, as far as, because I'm more than 10 years older than you. So, but we're both old enough to remember what it was like to have to memorize a phone number.
So, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we're still in that same era. You know, my son doesn't necessarily know what that's like unless it was his mom or dad's or something like that. But the point being is, you know, all the way back from Y2K, I remember the mayhem that was created as a result of that. Or, you know, as far as people like, oh my goodness, it was a cast. I don't want to go too deep there. The point being is that when that went down, and it didn't go down the way all the prognosticators of doom were talking about that it would, those same people went right back into the matrix, so to speak. They were like, okay, it's all nonsense. Those same people that were prepared at that time, not realizing or not owning to the fact that you've been had, nephew, they made you think that this thing was going to jump off, and it didn't. And so those same people went deeper into the matrix, and now they can't be told anything. Or I was also one of those people that was thinking early on, got to hurry up and do this, got to hurry up and do that. And then meanwhile, the life around me was just passing by and I'm missing out on critical things. And that's what I love about what you presented with Tony on the Confessionals podcast. And also, you know, when you were basically having your coming out party regarding your new podcast, but also how you came up with the name and what that represents. Why don't you talk about that for a minute? Because when I first heard the name, I was like, this is a little bizarre, but knowing how, well, I was going to make the bad mistake of saying knowing how your mind works, because I don't, but I do appreciate it. And I'm the beneficiary of a lot of the information that you've dropped over the years. Why don't you tell everybody how you came up with that name? Because it didn't make any sense at all to me. And then after it was all said and done, I had a eureka moment. Why don't you talk to us about that?
Man, I'll tell you what, I have gotten rave reviews for the name of it. Initially, though, people had questions, and I left them in the dark for a while anyway, because that's just by design, because I was like, they'll find out when they find out. So yeah. Tony knew about it out the gate, and when I told him the name of it, because he knew if I was going to do podcasting, what I was going to do with it. I'd already told him my plans, how I wanted to present information going forward, and how I wanted to do it. And when I told him the name, he was like, man, that's perfect. He's like, that's wild. So, and I was like, yeah, I think it is too. So the essence of the name is a play on going down the rabbit hole, chasing these white rabbits, you know, getting stuck in the rabbit hole. You know, people have heard it a million times. I can't wait to go down the rabbit hole in this topic, or I'm stuck in the rabbit hole in this topic, which is fine. It's part of our daily conspiracy world jargon, right, at this point. So I get it. But what I wanted to encourage people to do is you can go down the rabbit hole, but we need to free these rabbits. We need to get out of the rabbit hole. And my slogan at the end of the podcast is go out, touch grass, and get your tail out the hole. And I think that's what we need to do. There's nothing wrong with going down a deep rabbit hole, quote unquote, of research. But we also have to get ourselves out of that, where we got to sit back and look at it from a panoramic view and say, like, man, I just did a bunch of research. How much of this is valid? How much of it's not? And how much of it's a theory? Like, that's what we have to start doing with these topics that we're not doing. And listen, I've been just as, like you said, you were talking about yourself. I've been in the same boat before where, you know, I was in that similar state of mind where I was letting these things control me to an extent. And I realized that that's not the life that I'm supposed to live. That's not like God wants us to live. And I knew that last year as I started figuring myself out and growing as a human being. And this was a tough one for me, Billy, like, because I know this was a gamble doing a podcast like this in this conspiratorial world. Like, it's not going to be popular with a lot of conspiracy podcasters. It's not going to be popular with some people who choose to live in fear or need that, right? Here's the other thing I've noticed, because I've been around enough people that get so down the rabbit hole with these topics, a lot of them aren't happy with their own lives. And what they need is something to point to as a reason to why they're not successful, a reason to why they can't make something happen. That's a very easy thing to do. If something's not happening in my life, well, the government, they're stopping me. The elites, they're stopping me. We hear this all the time. And again, there are valid points to censorship. There's valid points to things happening all around the world. I'm not negating that. I think that the podcast won't negate those topics. I'm going to go down those and present those things. But at the same time, say that if we believe in something that's bigger than that, then that thing overrides anything evil that's happening. So if you are to be successful in something and you're following your God-given path, you're going to be successful. No matter what they're doing, you're going to find success regardless. And I think that I've watched plenty of men and women who look at all these tertiary things happening around them, and they pinpoint those, but they don't look at themselves, don't look inward to what they need to be working on to connect to their families, to connect to the people around them. And that was something that I wanted to present in this podcast. Do conspiracies from a different light. Be able to present information, have a good time with it. Also, put that there's levels of truth of these things, like, and especially with some of the topics that I dig into, yeah, there are factual evidence in history. You could go to the CIA.gov and they'll be talking about certain projects that they put out over the past 100 years, and you can go to those and see those and know that, hey, they were doing some manipulative things behind the scenes. Those type of things I can point to as facts. Other things I can say, well, here's the information I've done. These things kind of add up. Do with it what you want to with it. And I may even say, this is what I think happened, but I can always leave myself the room to being wrong. You know, like shape of the earth. Like, if it came out tomorrow that it was flat, it wouldn't change my day, Billy. Like, it's not going to change how I operate. Like, cool, whatever, man. You know, the joke is, though, within some of the guys that I talk to are open-minded on all spectrums. You won't see it from the guys who are, like, you know, all in on either way. But the guys I talk to always joke about, you know, flat earthers. Like, if it came out tomorrow that the earth was flat, they'd start saying it's round because they're so obstinate in believing what the government's saying. You can't be that way with the government. You have to understand that they're giving you levels of truth, too. So you have to be able to sift through the mist and understand, you know, what's truth, what isn't truth. Because they're not just giving you bold faced lies. Everything's not fake either. Like, that's the other thing that you always hear. Everything's fake. Everything's a hologram. And, well, yeah, they helped cultivate that idea within this community. So when they do certain things, you're already thinking they're fake. So you're not even prepared for the idea of it being right. So what if something is right? You know, what if gray aliens showed up and they actually were real? What are you going to do then when you thought that they were Project Bluebeam? You're not prepared because you don't have the mindset that, yeah, this project could be going on. But at the same time, these other things could possibly be real too. So you got to also look at it from those aspects. I always say that they're giving you truth the way they want to spin it. So look at it that way. So they're going to give you some level of truth, but they may be spinning it in a way that they want to move you. So you got to start looking at things that way. And that's a big part of freeing the rabbits, is understanding that these rabbits aren't necessarily exactly what we think they are. You know, one of the biggest faults within critical thinkers that get so trapped in the rabbit hole is they'll watch about 3 documentaries on a subject, read about two books on the subject and think they're masters of it and think they know everything about it. And it's like, that's just not possible, because even the guys that wrote those books who've done 10, 20 years of research on said topic, they could be wrong. You know, the joke, this is a joke, but when I used to sell houses, I remember there were two people that worked there and they got in a big argument. And the one lady looked at the other guy and she said, "You're trying to tell me what to do? I've been doing this for 25 years. And he looked at her very calmly and said, "That doesn't mean you've been doing it right for 25 years either." So that also goes to the fact that you could be doing tons of research and it could be wrong. So I'm always very cognizant of that fact too, that even when I'm doing research, I don't know exactly if this is right or not. I just know that it's been written and I know it's a possibility and I'm going to present it as a possibility. And I think that that's important, is looking at things that are maybe there to manipulate us that we can look to and say, "Hey, I'm going to keep an eye on that. Like, I don't want to fall trap to that." But at the same time, live your life, have fun, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, cultivate new friends, cultivate new family. That's part of, you know, permaculture on a, you know, human level,
like social permaculture.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I think that's a big thing that's been lost since years ago. And I would say, like I said, around 08, 09, when this Cass Sunstein paper was written with Adrian Vermeule, I think that's when it started. And then social media ramped up. So then it helped being able to box people into certain categories. I've never seen so much infighting in a group of people who are not supposed to be infighting, who are actually supposed to be seeking the truth. People argue about the dumbest stuff. And you would think that would be happening in just the normal society part of things when it comes to sports or entertainment or whatever else. The best part is these truthers rail on those people, but they're just as bad or worse with how they act online, how they treat other people. So I don't think that, and I'm not saying all either. I think there's some great people that present great information, that do it from an ethical standpoint and really try to help people. It's not for all, but I can say that seeing this for, you know, 14 years, 15 years, I've watched a huge downfall on people who are supposed to be critical thinkers who aren't at all. Because 2020 was a prime example where a lot of people supposedly woke up. I don't think they did. I just think they got herded in a different direction. I don't think that they actually woke up, because all they did was they knew some things weren't right. Then they fell for everything. And it's like, man, I swear, if a UFO video gets posted, how many people are quick to say it's fake? I know that's fake. That's CGI. Have you seen the real thing to know? Again, I'm not saying it's not fake. It could very well be fake. But I see these things happen online. People don't look at things with wonder and curiosity anymore. Everybody just knows the answer immediately when they actually don't. And I think that that's a big problem. And that's how you easily get manipulated and easily get moved in position where they want you to move when you're that type of person. And I just don't want to be that way. And I hope that people listening to my podcast are encouraged to be bigger than that, better than that, and actually have decent conversations with people, even those people you think are sheep, who probably aren't as sheep-like as you think. They're well-educated, at least from a mainstream standpoint, and they understand things maybe better than you do. So you need to start looking at that too, and the fact that, hey, this person's done a lot of research on this. I can't just come at them and call them an idiot just because I think that they got their information from the wrong place. They have their doctorate. They spent 8 years doing this. Like, you can't say that to somebody like that. It's just not how that works. Like, that's not how you approach somebody like that. And I think that we have to start looking at it a different way and how we need to connect to people outside of our own little echo chambers that we create because it makes us feel good.
Yeah, you're right. We all have these matrices that we prepare for ourselves, or we allow others to prepare them for us, going right back to the Cass Sunstein thing. Whether you know it or not, Joel, what you're really promoting in your podcast, and what I absolutely got so excited about, I used to talk about it a lot on YouTube and also in my podcast, is what you're bringing back, what you're attempting to bring back, and I think you'll be very successful at it, is basically what used to be called a classical education. Before, okay, for the audience out there, the people that have been with me the longest, you know that I've talked about this extensively. And yes, it was a conspiracy that I know I can prove. About 150 years ago, two things were introduced to the American public. One was actually brought to the American public. The other was actually removed. One, about 150, let's say actually more closer to 160, 70 years ago, was the classical education. And what that consisted of, and what Joel is actually talking about, is being able to use grammar, logic, and rhetoric. Grammar consisted, think about this, folks, it was so important that if you were a slave in the Roman Empire or even the Roman Republic prior to it, if you bought your own freedom, which was entirely possible, the first thing you were required to do under Roman law was to purchase an education in classical thinking. And that consisted of this. It was illegal to teach any slave this, and it was grammar, logic, and rhetoric. Grammar consisted of asking the questions, the following questions, in this order: who, what, where, when. And then that was the grammar, and then the logic was why. And then once you understood and got rid of all the contradictions in there, you could then go on to how. So it was in this order: who, what, where, when, why, and how. And that was grammar, logic, and rhetoric. In other words, it was called the trivium. And what Joel is actually doing through this podcast, I mean, you could even call it the trivium. I mean, obviously, Free the Rabbits is a much better, but much better take on it. But what you're asking people to do is critically think. And going back to the example that you provided of the lady in real estate says, I've been doing this for 25 years. Well, if you use the trivium, you would find out that that lady's statement was an appeal to authority. That's what it was. It's a logical fallacy. It's a fallacious argument to say that I know what I'm talking about because I've been doing this for 25 years is an appeal to authority. Up until 150 years ago, do you know that this was always taught in the one-room schoolhouse? To this day, it's only taught in Ivy League schools and prep schools for those schools. So, Joel, what you're doing is really a throwback to classical education saying, hey, bro, you shouldn't agree to anything until you've done the grammar, logic, and rhetoric, until you've examined this, removed all the contradictions. You are not the subject matter expert, so you should always look at it with a jaundiced eye. Look, folks, at the end of the day, having the ability to read only enables you to be a higher functioning slave. If you don't have the ability to say, is what I'm being told here through this text, through this person, through this politician, through whatever, if I can't rightly divide what they're telling me, then I'm just a higher functioning slave. And that's what I love about what you're doing with this podcast, bro.
Yeah, I think it's important, Billy, because no one's really looking at it from that way right now. Everybody's getting caught up in the next election cycle, getting caught up in the next big debate, bad thing, right? Everybody's getting caught up in it right now. And nobody's looking at it with a keen eye to what could be actually going on. And I'm not here to tell people exactly what's going on any front with any of these topics. I'm going to present the information. And at times I may say, this is what I think. Or if it's an actual factual thing, I can point to and say, well, this factual thing happened, so this gives some validity to this theory because of these factual things happening around it. And sometimes that's how theories are built, because you've got factual instances that have happened that directly correlate into this theory, and you can say this theory might have more legs to it than some of these other ones. And I think that's how we have to start looking at things, because people are so dead set on certain ideas and theories that they call their podcast a theory that's out there, or they name their first name a theory. You know, I joked on the Cast Sunstein Effect, I said Matrix Thomas. You know, people will pinpoint these theories and make it their whole identity, make it their whole podcast identity. What happens at that point if that theory becomes wrong? Well, you do one of two things. You double down and you fight it tooth and nail, because your whole monetization is relegated to that theory, or you got to can it. You have to admit you're wrong. And it takes a big person to be able to do that and say that I'm wrong about this. Now, if you're theorizing and you're using, like you said, classical education tactics, it doesn't matter if what happens around you or something's proven. You've already given yourself the ability to move with that because of new information that's provided. And I think that that's what happens in these rabbit holes. People are so tight and hold on to these things because they need it. They need it to be true because it makes whatever bad's happening in their life make sense.
That's what happens when you put your rhetoric before your grammar. That's why it was done in that order. You know, you had the trivium, and then later on you had, once you mastered that, which by the way, if you were a Roman, you would probably master that before you were 8 years old. I had to go back and teach my son this. I had to go learn it myself, because you'll notice that when you listen to a news story, if you, first of all, there's people that just fundamentally have this. You're one of those people. I'm one of those people. But I didn't have the ability to say, oh, that's an appeal to authority, or that's an appeal to tradition, or that is a red herring, or whatever. I didn't have all that, but my spidey senses were telling me, ding, 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 ding. So what you find out in most cases, whether it's somebody, whether it's some talking head on the news, or whether it's somebody in a podcast, when you have this understanding of classical thinking, you say, hold on a minute. You just told me the why and the how before you gave me the who, what, where, when. Did you remove those contradictions? So whether it's something as simple as flat earth, or whether it's hollow earth, whether it's round earth, regardless of theory, until you answer the who, what, where, and like you said, in most cases, you can't answer those regarding these. It has to stay relegated as a theory until you can do the who, what, where, when, why, and how in that order. Until right. You can do that, it's a theory, nephew.
Right. It's like the optics, right? People will say that, oh, I can see that it's level. There's no curvature. Yeah, but how many miles are we talking now? You know, there's an argument the other opposite way too. You know, people can also say that they see the curvature, and then you got to look at what's going on with people's eyesight at that point. Do you have 20/20 vision? Do you have these things? You know, back to what you said, the who, what, when, where, how. There's so many mitigating factors that go into just a simple statement as I can either see the curvature or I can't see this curvature, right? That isn't necessarily a good debating point, but you hear that a lot. You know, you hear there's no way the ball's spinning out of control at X amount of speeds. I tell you what, there's a lot of scientists out there that could explain it way better than I could. And I've done some research on this that could explain it way better than I could. Also, there's another argument too, that you're saying that you can explain God by saying that it's flat and it's in a dome. Well, it seems to me that if there was a God, that he could create things that you couldn't understand. So there's an argument the other way too. And I'm not saying either way what I think about this. I'm just saying that we don't do the actual research, or we don't look at things as a theory when we take them as absolute fact. And that's something we've got to stop doing, because that has taken us out of being able to communicate to others. And I do think that that was a big part of why that Cass Sunstein presented this information to the Obama administration when he joined the Obama administration in 2009 with this theory that also came out in 2009, even though he and Vermeule wrote it the back in 2008, he presented this to Obama. And then what happened after 2008, 2009? That's when you had a major spike in conspiracy theories. It actually didn't do what the average person would think that it was meant to do. The paper was not written to stop conspiracy theories. It was written to teach a tactic called cognitive infiltration. Cognitive infiltration is a tactic where they send people into chat rooms, create online accounts, physically go into groups, integrate into the group. And there's several ways they can do this. They can combat the information, say that it's false, and hope that people believe that it is. But the biggest tactic that they created was to create more
mayhem
and crazier conspiracy theories to integrate into these groups, to isolate them more. So one, that can be easily trackable. Number two, to disseminate people who would want to use their cognitive abilities to find out the truth. So now things have become so crazy that now you just don't believe any of it. Like you said, some people are like, well, I'll just go back to the Matrix. This is just too crazy for me.
I've seen it.
And they're not wrong, though, because the stuff they're looking at is probably false and is crazy. So that's the part of it that's not untrue. It's they've done this. And this was a tactic that was implemented during the Obama administration that has now spun out. Think about the theories that just got crazy legs after that. Tartaria was one, blew up out of nowhere. Nobody was talking about Tartaria before 08, 09. And then that stretched from like 2010 to all the way to now. Tartaria just gets hot out of nowhere. It wasn't even a thing. man, when I was in the conspiracy theories, we never talked about that. Flat Earth, nobody wants to hear this. I know the Flat Earth Society was started in the 1980s, but I'm saying the actual craziness surrounded around the theory of Flat Earth became massive. All those documentaries came out in 2012. It got stupid hot. 2016 went just crazy. And people just held on to that as it being an absolute thing that they have to fight over. When I can tell you before 08-09, Flat Earth wasn't really a part of the conspiracy theories. I'll tell you what was, well, the moon landings were fake, and there was a lot of great evidence of the moon landings being faked. There's a lot of thought pattern that maybe that a lot of the Flat Earth stuff was pushed after 08, 09 to discredit the moon landings being fake, because so many people had done such intense research on the moon landings being fake, and it was like visible evidence where this doesn't look right. These videotapes don't look right. You're not even giving us the actual videotapes. Some of this stuff was documented evidence, and I think that was a huge part of what happened after 08-09. Again, I'm not saying there, and I've done deep dives on Flat Earth, I'm not saying there's not some legitimate evidence that's there that's like, eh, you know, so this makes a little bit of sense. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, though, the theory itself became bigger than the actual search for knowledge. And it happened with the Matrix theory. The Matrix theory, or, you know, we're living in this simulation theory, Matrix theory, all the same thing. Listen, the Matrix movies came out in like the early 2000s. That wasn't even a term till the movies came out. And then all of a sudden, people believed it as an actual fact. They said that we're in this Matrix, that there's these archons. And you can take this back to the Gnostics. The Gnostics talk about the archons, and it was their version of the Matrix, I guess. But people took it into this computer Matrix that we're trapped in. What happens when that happens, Billy? Everything's fake, literally. Even the people you're talking to are fake. Why even live life then? We're all just living in the Matrix. It's all fake. Matter of fact, I always made the joke, if we are actually living in a Matrix, why are we not all out there doing the most ridiculous stuff? I'm jumping off buildings, trying to fly like Neo. I'm doing it all, if that's the truth. But I think that the Matrix theory was also created to keep us, one, away from God, and two, keep us isolated and not connecting to the people around us. But those are just some examples of some theories that got massive push to now after that 08-09. And I think a lot of those groups, nuclear bombs being fake, there's another one that was talked about before 08-09, and there was some good evidence for at least the Trinity testings not being real, but that didn't equate to what was happening when these bombs were dropped. Now, I've done some deep dive studies on what I think that could be happening with these nuclear bombs. Maybe they're composed of things that they're not telling us completely, right? Maybe it's a little bit more than plutonium. You know, there was the they called it the demon bomb that they were supposed to drop, the third bomb that they never did. And the scientists that were building it were having all these paranormal experiences with these demons trying to talk to them, and they were going mad. And this is a documented fact. I mean, you can go to Wikipedia and read about this demon bomb that was supposed to be the third bomb that was going to be dropped after Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So you've got these weird things that are happening, but I think that what happens is it's like, oh, nuclear bombs are fake, and it's all, they're trying to get us to spend all our money, and they're trying to amp it up for the idea of war to make more money. Some of that's true, but you also have to look at some of it being real. And listen, half a city getting blown up, you can't really fake unless you're saying that they had CGI back then that they were, you know, showing us. I don't know, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, I don't throw anything out the window. I'm just saying that people get so deep rooted on these specific things to where it runs and rules them, to where if someone thinks differently about that topic, they write them off. They won't talk to them. And I think that's an inherent thing that as human beings we have, to where if somebody thinks differently than us, then we automatically think that person doesn't like us, or they discredit what we've done as researchers, or discredit us as not being smart, which is generally what you hear from people. They don't think I'm smart. I am smart. And it's like, well, you're actually not acting very smart by acting like that, because an intelligent person wouldn't get offended by somebody else getting offended by what they think. I know that sounded weird, but it's true.
No, it's a fact, bro. I say it all the time. You know, it's like that. He was a charlatan. He said, no amount of evidence can shatter a faith consciously based on a lie. So if you're so invested into that thing, your blinders are so narrow that you can't even see the wider view. And that's exactly what the powers that shouldn't be would have us do. But Joel, I'm a little bit concerned, man. Please tell me that we didn't that we're going to still see some of the old Joel. And the reason I'm asking this, bro, you've talked about things that nobody has ever talked about. One of the most riveting things I ever heard you talk about was, this was so far. I mean, dude, I can't even, there's not one thing in particular, but one of the things that blew my mind was Goliath's sword and what it might have been charged with, the armor that Saul had and David, what didn't prove them. All those things like that were classic Joel Thomas stuff that nobody's ever talked about before. Man, have you kind of dispensed with all that, or are we going to still see some of that?
Oh, no, you'll see all that. I love digging into biblical history and the wild and the weird of ancient technology and what could be there for sure. I actually got a new episode coming out called Cats of the Gods, where I talk about, you know, what the house cat could have came from. They were supposedly given by the gods during Egyptian culture. So I think there's some interesting thought patterns there. There were a lot of lion men and cat people during that period of time too, as far as ancient history goes. So I'm going to talk about some of these Nephilim bloodlines, some of these things that are possibilities that could have happened during that time. Absolutely. I'm not going to shy away from that. That's stuff I love researching about and love talking about.
We're going to still hear about Joel versus, we're going to hear about the Nephilim and all that stuff too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. You'll get Nephilim. Nephilim will never go away. I'm going to do a follow-up to an episode I did on the confessionals eventually of good Nephilim. I had a ton of people that reached out to me after I did that. So that was a very controversial topic.
Yeah.
That people were, matter of fact, what's really funny, I jumped on a podcast called Conspiracy Pilled, and people can look that up on any platform. And they reached out to me because it caused such a stir in their community that they were like, well, we just need to get the guy on that talked about it. And before it started, the guy that runs it said, look, I'm just letting you know before we start that I'm going to have some pushback questions. They're not necessarily from me, but from the listeners from before. I said, that's fine. And he didn't even get to them because I'd already dispelled them by the time the end of the episode, because I'd had time between the first episode to hear some of the pushback and then be able to do the research that could show how that's not necessarily the case, because there's so much evidence of there being Nephilim that turned from their evil ways during that period of time, or just in general. I mean, we can even talk about Luddy McCode, who said to still rule over the Solomon Islands right now, which is also very interesting. So you've got these, it's that all or nothing mentality again, though, right? So people have heard that Nephilim are the product of fallen entities and they're just evil and that's it. But they're also forgetting about that half of them that's human. So there's a whole other side of it. They're not just fallen. There's another side of them that's human. And did they have the ability to possibly turn? And I think there's some good evidence of it. And speaking to other guys that have talked about it too, one of the big guys in the game who's done 20 plus years research on it, Gary Wayne, would also confirm that that's the case too, because he's talked about there being Nephilim bloodlines and Nephilim that have come out of there, like Uriah, who was Bathsheba's husband, who's also said to be a Nephilim. People don't understand the dynamics of that weird case, because why would David make it such an effort to take Bathsheba? Well, maybe possibly because she was beautiful, but also possibly he may have felt threatened as a man next to this Nephilim who's part of his mighty men, and maybe that's why he sent him out to essentially get killed so he could marry Bathsheba, who oddly enough was part of the lineage that Jesus came from. So it's a lot of weird things that go on there. But yeah, I think that for sure, Billy, you're going to get all the weird and the wild when it comes to ancient history. That's never going to go away. I think that's always going to be a part of the interesting thing that connects to the world around us, because I think some of these ancient times and some of these things that happened in ancient times also correlate to what's happening now. We're just going through a different phase of it, right? We're just doing a rehash. It's almost like things reset and then people just follow the same path that they did before because they're human and they're bad. So it's just what happens.
Well, Joel, I know you have limited time and we got to ultimately bring this to a close, but man, are you going to be blowing up some of your own electrical equipment this time? Folks, if you don't know what I'm talking about, my man, we had him on one time and he did a softened version, but man, he's talking about topics that have had some unbelievable effects. Joel, you want to briefly tell everybody about that and then we'll talk about where they can find you?
Yeah, so I've definitely had some weird stuff happen where other people's equipment. My states away have shut down over topics I've talked about. I've been in studio with Tony Merkel and his whole Roadcaster Friday to buy a brand new road, which was super weird on certain topics. Generally speaking, it'll happen when I'm talking about something to do with Nephilim or fallen entities.
All right, bro. I'm over here looking, bro. I better not be in those parks, man.
Yeah, I record locally. So if something happens, it's going to have to fry like the hard drive at this point. So,
yeah. Well, Joel, these days, I mean, tell everybody where they can find you. I know you, I mean, in the past, they've seen you associated and affiliated with other folks. Why don't you tell them, you know, give them the lowdown where they can find you. Folks, if your beak ain't wet at this point, I think he kind of confirmed or pretty well confirmed what I said in the very outset of this. We've talked about Joel. In fact, we use his music on this show. He's given us permission to do that. And I mean, I'm talking, y'all. This dude is a thinker's thinker, and every single podcast I've ever heard him on, he steals the show. He'll never tell you that about himself, but he does every single time. In fact, my son William and I, every time he's on something, it's always the other people have mad respect for him. But honestly, this guy thinks in another level, in another dimension. You may not agree with all of it. You may not agree with any of it, but I promise you, he is going to make you think, which is something we sorely need these days. Joel, where can everybody find you?
And to that point of not thinking like me or not believing like me, that's perfectly fine. And that's what I promote on the show. So there are people that follow me that don't think like me at all. And they appreciate the fact that I'm not berating them for thinking differently. And I think that's how we have to be. And that's why I encourage people that don't think like me to come listen to the show. I'm not going to sit there and tell you that you're wrong. You could be right. It's just how I think about a certain topic. You know, it's just the research I've done. And back to your classical thinking or classical education point of view, it's true. I look at things from a educational lens because I do have a, you know, mainstream education plus the fact that I've always been encouraged to critically think by my parents growing up. So I think I had both and I was able to see things at least centered more in the middle where there's truths and not truths, and I'm able to shake it out the best way I can and how I need to look at these things moving forward. And I encourage everyone to do the same. You can like what I'm saying or not like it at all, but it shouldn't make you angry if what I'm saying is different than how you think, because that is when you have to start looking at yourself and seeing, why are those things making me angry? Why should they make you angry if they're just theories? You got to start thinking about it that way. Like, we shouldn't be getting mad over theories. That's silly. That's actually the opposite of what theories are created for. Theorizing, theology, all those things are created to help us understand what's going on and help us get closer to the truth. But we may never actually get there in our lifetime. It's just our lot. You know, we might not know until we're dead what's actually going on. And that's just part of it. But to where you can find me at, one of the easiest ways to go is Linktree/Joel Thomas Media, because I have all access to any of the podcast links from there. So you can go there, you can get to Apple, you can get to Spotify, you can get to YouTube, you can get to Rumble. I'm encouraging people to go to Rumble too, because there will be certain episodes. If you like the video, it won't make it on YouTube because there's certain subject matter that I just won't be able to talk about on YouTube. It's just inevitable. It doesn't matter if I'm, you know, skirting around the issue the best way I can and not hitting certain keywords, it's still going to get flagged. So I want people to have the opportunity to watch the video, because I do have video up on YouTube and Rumble every week, every Friday, 12 a.m. It'll be up. Same thing on all podcast platforms, Amazon, whatever, Apple, Spotify. I encourage people to go there. If you can, give me a 5-star review on any place that you can and write a review any place that you can. It helps the algorithm and it helps other people who don't know about the podcast get to it. Because everybody was so great this past week, I ended up charting pretty high on all platforms. So that was a huge thing for me to know that I'm moving in the right direction, that people like what I'm doing. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for everyone who, you know, gave me a 5-star and reached out and really liked the direction that I'm going in. Pretty much every place that you go, just type in Free the Rabbits or Free the Rabbits podcast, and you'll find it on any platform if you're trying to get to the podcast. If you're trying to get to my music, I would suggest go to Linktree slash Joel Thomas Media. All the music's there. You can get to on any platform too. If you're just on your platform like Spotify or whatever, you could just type in Joel Thomas and my music will pop right up and you can listen to it there.
Well, his music is absolutely balling, y'all. And in fact, I'm going to prove it here in a moment. Look, y'all, I didn't overstate it. And you just got a snippet of the genius of my man, Joel Thomas. So go check him out and free the rabbits. Until next time, y'all, stay alert, stay alive. They don't want an individual just to carve a copy. You sitting at Manicotti, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up at the center of the next is me. They want me to bottom, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never bow down, 'cause I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. They want me to bow down, but I'm a warrior.